Welcome to Swine Time Podcast at Pipestone. I'm your host, Dr. Spencer Wayne. Today I'm here with my guest today, Dr. Adam Shelkoff. Adam is the health director for Pipestone System, and Adam's a guy that I thought would add a lot of value today by just going through what we do to our piglets before they come to your farms. So I've got a list of questions I'm going to ask Adam. Adam has got a list of answers he's going to give, and hopefully answer some questions that you may have for your pigs when you get them, because all you see when they walk in the door is, I got pigs. But a lot of things happens to those pigs before they come, and I thought it'd be a good chance to go through those things. Adam, welcome. And can you give us some common programs that we give to piglets between birth and weaning, things that happen to those pigs typically on our farms?
Sure. Thanks for having me, Spencer. I appreciate it. There is a lot that happens. It's a very short window between birth to weaning to try and maximize the value of that pig, maximize the immunity of that pig, do everything we can to ensure the best start for that pig post-weaning. It's a combination of production practices. Oftentimes you'll hear about processing, which involves castration of male piglets, tail docking, tattooing to permanently identify piglets. It involves vaccinations. We have to maximize immunity in a very short window before sending that pig out into the world. And so vaccinations with circovirus, vaccination with mycoplasma, vaccination potentially with strep suis or PRRS vaccine are all things that are commonly done to piglets prior to weaning. And then lastly, antibiotics. Some piglets require antibiotics for either health challenges that farm is undergoing or to best prevent infection when you talk about some of the surgical procedures such as castration or tail docking.
Okay, so things we do to the pigs, antibiotics we give the pigs, and then also vaccinations that we give the pigs. For regarding vaccinations, things happen to the pig at different times in their life. What's a typical vaccination program? Can you just say typical program might be this and lay out one example?
Yeah, today, a typical program, if we try and look at the base level, circovirus is commonplace in every piglet. It's a nasty disease that's been here for about 20 years now, but we are fortunate to have outstanding vaccines that help control circovirus, and no pig should go without circovirus vaccine today. Secondly, mycoplasma. Common respiratory bacteria that today, those vaccines are very effective, and so pigs out of Pipestone System sow farms will receive either one or two doses of a mycoplasma vaccine. The other one that's a plus or minus is PRRS vaccine. Depending on the status of that sow farm, depending on where those pigs are going, PRRS vaccine provides protection to piglets if they are to face PRRS virus out in the field. And so some sow farms will vaccinate piglets for PRRS virus. There's a couple others out there. Strep suis is probably one that we talk more about today. It's become more of an issue. Strep suis vaccines can provide immunity, can provide an advantage to piglets if they face that type of challenge.
Okay, so every farm varies from each other, and sometimes you go into a new farm that maybe has been under a different vaccination protocol prior, and you find things that you wonder, why are we given this? And some vaccinations are probably not necessary, and you take them out. How do we know it's not junk? How do we know it's actually working? We do these things to the pigs. How do you know that you're not giving it to pigs for no reason, a waste of money?
It's a great question. The vaccine routines develop over time, and they develop because of a reason. There must have been a challenge at some point or a reason to use that vaccine at some point. But certainly as we evolve in the management practices and the health management practices, you may eliminate the need for that vaccine. So that's one piece of it, that you change your practices, and sometimes it helps remove some of the vaccines that may not be necessary. The other side of it, do they work? We validate all of the vaccines that we use and all of the protocols that we use today, a lot of them done through Pipestone Applied Research, to validate the benefit or the efficacy of that vaccine, the timing, the administration, all of the ways in which it helps us as Pipestone vets make decisions on which vaccines to use, when, why, and evaluate the return on investment or the protection it provides to those pigs.
A question I get a lot is, well, can you get by with half a dose? I get a lot in not our system farms, these are client farms, and they say, well, I use half a dose of this or half a dose of this. Commonly, half dose, I can save money. Why don't we give, I don't know of any system farm where we half dose anything. We give a standard full dose. Why? Why do we give full dose?
Age old question, and it's a great one that comes up very frequently. And certainly economic conditions in the marketplace often put that type of pressure. When you're faced with dismal market conditions, it forces you to challenge some of those things. And we get that from our producers or others. But the two points I'd make on that. Number one, the vaccines we have today in the United States, very well controlled in how they come to marketplace. That's with a defined efficacy study or a number of defined efficacy studies to show that at that dose, this is the expected response. At some sort of partial dose, you'll probably get partial immunity. It doesn't provide the economic return, and it doesn't provide the health and benefit that we want for those pigs. So diminishing return with diminishing dose is the common way of looking at it.
Yeah, I mean, in my mind, they labeled it and licensed it at that dose of that concentration because that's what reliably would work.
It's exactly true. And the research done on that is done at a full dose. It's done at a full dose for a reason. So half dosing is not a practice that we condone, and it's not one that provides the best setup for the pigs.
All right, so antibiotics. It's a hot topic in the industry and the country today. Any news feed over time is going to have stories about antibiotics and superbugs, and at some point, fingers start to point towards agriculture, animal agriculture, because we do use antibiotics in pigs and cattle and turkeys, sheep, everything else. How do we use antibiotics in the farrowing crate? When do we use them? Why would we use them? When would we not use them? Can you go with a couple examples, even specific examples if you want?
It's one of the most hot topics we face, Spencer. You're exactly right. You can't go to the meat department without seeing antibiotic-free or no antibiotics ever on a lot of the products that we have. But certainly, antibiotics, they have a place. They always have had a place, and we believe they will have a place in animal agriculture because, unfortunately, pigs do get sick. Pigs require antibiotics to manage disease in certain scenarios. Our goal as veterinarians is to manage the conditions, the environment, the health of the sow farm, the environment, the conditions those pigs go into to minimize the need for those antibiotics. So that's our goal every day is to say, where do we need antibiotics? Where do we not need antibiotics? We must choose the antibiotics we do use judiciously. So whether that's penicillin versus Exceed, they have different bacteria that they treat. They have different ties to the human medicine side. And so that's our job to use the sensitivity patterns we have to make the right decision on this antibiotic should be used in this scenario. And then also through a lot of the research we've done, show that in these scenarios with this health status or these pigs, antibiotics aren't necessary. We can do away with them. That's a challenge to us as veterinarians and to our farms to manage judiciously.
So my sow farm breaks with PRRS this week, and immediately my pigs start looking very bad. Antibiotics go in, probably?
Antibiotics go in.
Yeah.
It's a viral disease, Spencer. It's one that pigs are sick with that. They're challenged with secondary bacteria. Antibiotics are life-saving tools for those pigs. That's our job, is to manage with life-saving tools. And we want to preserve the right to use those because that's our job when involved in pork production or pig production. Yeah. But it's the routine use that we need to challenge. And that's a little harder for us to get our minds around sometimes. But it is an obligation of our industry to push the needle.
Right. Okay. Adam, I appreciate you being here. I think we covered a lot of just components of what we do to piglets before they're weaned. I don't know if there's anything else you've got in your mind to cover.
You know, the other point I make, Spencer, we talked a lot about the pigs and the vaccines here. We have a lot of tools in our toolbox in managing the environment, managing immunity through the sow. And so those are common ways that we have to focus when we're on farm. How can we change our approach in trying to manage immunity better at a lower cost, at a lower intervention level? We ask a lot of our farm staff. We ask a lot of the pigs in a very early age. And so creating the best environment, creating the best strategy is always our goal, and there's always room to try and improve on that, which we do every single day to try and create the best value, create the best quality health pig out of the Pipestone system sow farm.
Right. Actually, one more thing I was going to ask you about before we wrap up. Wean age in pigs. It's not necessarily a health question, but I think it ties directly to health and what you need for antibiotic use or vaccine use. I would say there's been a noticeable shift within our system in the industry to going to an older and older pig. What does that have to do with piglet health?
It's a great question. It's one, again, as you look at over decades, production practices and trends shift. We've been all the way down to 6 to 10 days of age. We've been up to 28 days of age. The industry for a long time has settled in an 18 to 20 day old wean age. It's shifting now towards a 24, 25 for two reasons. Number one, the pressures on antibiotics, they're real. And those pigs weaned at an older age, they're more robust. They have a better chance of starting on feed, of managing health concerns, and not needing antibiotics. The other side of it, the economics to return is better at that wean age. It's better for our producers. And so I think you're going to see a shift in our industry towards an older wean age in the 24 to 25 day old range.
Okay, so recapping that, older pigs, more robust, need less antibiotics. And if you were going to do it like an ABF program for your market pigs going out, you'd probably want to be on an older pig program just because that pig doesn't need it nearly as much. It's a lot more resistant to problems that might occur in a younger pig.
You're exactly right, Spencer.
Okay. Adam, thanks for being here. Really appreciate it. I'd like to welcome all the producers to come back for the next episode of this podcast. This podcast is created for pork producers, mainly our producers listening, but anybody out there in the industry wanting to peek under the hood of the Pipestone system and what we do for our system sow farms regarding the piglets that you get every day and the risks that you face every day in pork production.